C2M, number 2B.
Take out the principle, and again we see the same flow. Here we have spiritual unity in principle. So here the scriptural note is spiritual unity. Now with the synonymous term principle, makes through a scientific attitude. See, this is now the idea of principle. Sorry, I always say idea instead of quality of principle. That through a scientific attitude, that's a principle's attitude, human relationships become more harmonious and permanent. So you have permanent, the tone of life, and the end product is human relationships. So if we put a spiritual order into grammatical order, which is not always very nice, but if we would do that, we would say spiritual unity in principle makes through a scientific attitude something more permanent, namely human relationship. But that's not nice. Huh? But that would be spiritual order. Yes. So you remember how in retrospection and introspection Mrs. Eddy says that grammatical order does not coincide with spiritual order, that science has a different syntax, and so we must be aware that grammatical language does not follow always the spiritual order. And this is very important to know, especially when one reads the textbook in different languages, then one can see that even clearer. So here she would say that in the measure as we have a more and more scientific attitude, more and more impersonal attitude, that really helps very much, and that really makes things more permanent. What things makes it more permanent? Our relationship, human relationship, become more permanent. We know that if in a human relationship everyone relies on principle, not on the person, that brings not so much trouble, and makes therefore a relationship more permanent and lasting. Shall we see in the fifth subject of life, she changes again the subject and says, well, if we have spiritual unity in life, that's principle, spiritual unity, and that brings forth, now we get the tone of the qualities of life, namely through exalted and refined affection. These are the qualities of life. And that brings forth, now we come to the tone of life in the scriptural note, namely nobler. Nobler is higher. Life is always that which makes a generation noble, makes a nobler human species. Human species is truth, is again the sense of mankind. Can you see now here we have naturally the difficulty in distinguishing two tones of life. The tone, the unity with life, and those qualities are exalted and refined affection. Then that unity of principle brings forth in the scriptural note life, resurrection, which here is then nobler. That's a resurrected sense. And the tone of truth is human species. Is that clear what I said about the two qualities of life? Which one is the tone of the scriptural note, and which one is the tone of the unity with life? Naturally, the same difficulty we will have in truth, that again we have two kinds of truth, namely the qualities of truth and on the other side than truth in the scriptural note. So here we have spiritual unity in truth now brings forth. Now we come to the qualities of truth, namely through a metaphysical understanding, which means through understanding the truths, plural, about everything. And that has an effect. We come to life, the higher. Now we have a higher sense of truth. Now we come to the main tone, the scriptural tone of truth, the nature of man. Now suddenly the nature of man is brought out. Before that we only had human nature. Now suddenly towards the end of the chapter we get to the true nature of man. So in through the spiritual unity in truth, which means that we are united with the metaphysical aspect of man, with the metaphysical understanding of what man is, that naturally brings forth a higher sense of man than if we have only a human sense of man. And what it brings about is that higher life nature of man. The higher nature of man, and not the mortal animal nature of man. We come to the last one, love. And we feel that Mrs. Eddy always brings the subject higher and higher and higher here. It comes to a climax and says, spiritual unity in love. And now, through what qualities of love? Through a stronger adherence to the spiritual. Now, for the first time, she introduces the spiritual and not the human qualities. You can see now it comes to the, gets nearer and nearer to the superlative. So through a stronger adherence to the spiritual, that's love, brings more and more into evidence. Can you see? More and more, that's life, higher and higher, stronger and stronger, greater and greater into evidence. What? And now comes truth, and you have get the highest sense of manhood here, the man of God's creation. Of God's creation, truth. So you have unity with love, so the qualities of stronger adherence to the spiritual, that does something, namely that it brings us more and more and more and more, nearer and nearer and nearer to the evidence of what? That actually man is God's creation and not the creation of the parents. Yes. I think it's quite clear to see the ascending way that Mrs. Eddy shows from the concession to marriage and bringing forth in a mortal way the progeny, and then step by step leading the mortal out of mortality and showing that there is a way that brings us step by step in experience closer and closer to the fact that man is God's creation and not mortal's creation. Yes. Now, we'll see that these three great tones of the scriptural note constantly flow through each one of these seven subjects, and that alone gives us a kind of a impression that we have to deal with a very exact science, an exact spiritual science, that Mrs. Eddy would present a definite law, here the law of principle, life, truth, as that law which characterizes the world as Christianity, that law actually operates constantly within each synonymous term, within mind, within spirit, within soul, within principle, within life, within truth, and within love. Now, in order that we have perhaps a better overall view of these epidemics, you have another chart, that one-page chart here. Perhaps you take that chart for a moment. Yes. And this shows actually nothing else but what we had in these main tone epitomes. So it shows, the title is The Scriptural Notes of Principal Life Truth, and shows them in the seven main subject of the chapter, marriage. So we have therefore three main categories, namely on the top, the main category, first principle, then the second one, life, and then the next column, truth. So this is principle, life, truth, which shows us the scriptural note. Then it shows how this is elaborated differently in tone-wise through the seven subjects. So under the column principle, we have two sub-columns, namely the one which says, well, that principle means unity. Now, unity with what? So we have spiritual unity in, and then underneath the seven main tones: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But we have seen that the spiritual unity in a synonymous term naturally always brings out different qualities of that synonymous term. Namely, that it brings out in mind what? We have here law abiding. What does it bring out in spirit? Pure qualities. Then in soul, if you go vertically down the column, then in soul, selflessness and unity of interest. So we see they change completely, those qualities that are discussed. When we come to principle, we have those qualities of being scientifically minded, or a scientific attitude, and not to have a personal attitude. In life, that we are united with exalted and refined affection. You get the fifth day of creation, the fowls that fly above the earth. In truth, we have the metaphysical understanding, that we are one and united with metaphysical understanding. And finally, in love, with a stronger adherence to the spiritual. So looking down this column, we can see that these terms really characterize qualities, divine qualities, which characterize each of the synonymous terms. If we go to the next column, which has the title Life on top of the column, then this shows how in the epitomes we have read what kind of qualities of life are brought out, and you see that practically each one is different from the other. So you have a whole column, so to say, of qualities of life that have but one common denominator, that they always have a comparative in it. So we will not find here qualities of life that we have just on our list of ideas, but only those that really give us a sense that it exalts, that in the resurrection, that it exalts, etc. And so they are always different, the moment in every synonymous term. So we have here, when we read down life, what does life do? What is that in the resurrection? Well, it advances, we have in mind. It enriches, that's another term of life, of the fullness of life. You see, therefore, we would not have, say, in this in this column say fullness, the fullness of life, because fullness is an end product. It's not a comparative. It's a superlative. So it here we have not fullness, but enriches, makes fuller, makes richer. It enriches life. It promotes life. These are all comparatives. It makes it more permanent. I should have written more permanent, it's just of permanent. It makes it nobler. Again, a comparative of life, the nobility of life. Then we come to the higher. Again, we have the fowls that fly above the birds that fly above the earth. They go higher and higher. And finally, we have a tone of life brings more and more into evidence. So it individualizes more and more and more. Can you see that whole tonality of life going right through these seven subjects? Or if we take the last column and take truth, we see here also very clearly that marriage as such is a summary term, so to say, for all kinds of human relationships, for wedding ourselves together in a unity, in a relationship among people. And it's all about the human and only that. So we have here in the last column of truth, now it brings out a higher civilization. Speaks here about civilization and the human race and so on, giving a sense of mankind and bringing forth a civilization. Then in the second one, it's all about the human nature, not about the spiritual nature of man, about the higher human nature. What the human nature is that lends itself to something higher. Then we have in soul that it defines human partnership. It's again human partnership, not divine relationships. Then we have human relationship, not divine relationship, like principle and idea is one, that would be a divine relationship. That is not under consideration here. Then it brings out in the tone of life the human species. Again, a tone of mankind in it, human species. Then it gets higher. Always when we come to truth and love, we get the higher sense and the resolving sense. Namely, the nature of man is then under consideration. And finally, we have man of God's creation. So this is a climax. So we can see it gives again for us a terrific picture how mankind, humankind, that is conscious of something, only people are conscious of something, mortals are conscious of something. Consciousness is that which defines man in distinction to plants and animals and birds and so on. So that we can see, we begin with civilization and see that civilization has to get a higher nature in the next one, that has to bring forth better human partnerships, then human relationships, that should bring forth a higher human species, and then we find more and more out what is the nature of man, until we find in the last one that man's nature is really his coexistence with God. So you have a whole ascending line here that shows the working out of the mortal and human to the point of seeing our primeval existence as God's man. So if we have just this chart a little bit in mind, we actually can see that in it we would find the fundamental principle of marriage, gives the law that defines the principle of marriage. I left a lot of space open purposefully, namely so that there is a lot of empty space and you can write into it the many ways how such a tone is brought out in the text of the textbook. It's not so, say, that I had in mind as a qualities, namely to be united with law-abiding. That is perhaps my summary term. In the text you have all kinds of variations of law-abiding, and you can write that into it. When you go through the text, there you will perhaps write into it legal provisions. You see, that's being obedient to legal provisions, to moral regulations. That has also to do with Moses' laws, with keeping the commandments and referring to the laws of Moses. These are terms that occur then in the text. And in your study then, which you can make, you will be helped just to write into it all those terms that are in the text of the textbook. And in this way give a much fuller, a much rounder sense of these ideas. Yes. Now, there is another point that will come up, and that is why is the tone, the scriptural tone, truth, principle, life, truth? Why not life and truth? You remember we had in prayer, we had word as word, in the scriptural note, we had mind, spirit, soul. And we did take those scriptural notes and could see that the scriptural note is brought out through the word as word in the same way as John Dolly had it in his matrix. In his matrix, which you know, if you don't know, I can't explain what it is, but those who know John Dolly's matrix will see that he has the word as word, he has mind, spirit, soul. Then we could see, for instance, in Atonement and Eucharist, that the scriptural note there was soul, principle, life, just as John Dolly had it too in the matrix as the word as the Christ. But John Dolly had in the word as Christianity only life and truth. And here we have principle, life and truth. Now, this does not make much difference, because you can see in the matrix, naturally you have to have it now in your memory and see it and know it. You remember how he shows that every time you go from one standpoint to the next, like from the standpoint of the word as the word, which is mind, spirit, soul, the moment he goes to the next, to the word as Christ, he takes in soul again, he links it with the preceding one and says it's soul, principle, life. And then when he goes to the next one, the word as Christianity, he takes life and truth and goes on. He links again the preceding synonymous term with the one that now is under consideration. But you also can see that in many cases one feels that that is not enough to go back just to the preceding synonymous term, that sometimes in order to ground yourself much deeper, you have to go back to two or even more synonymous terms, as you have it then, for instance, Christianity as Christianity. So that this does not disprove what John Dolley has seen, because the main point is really life and truth. So principle is taking in order to give us a better foundation on which life and truth builds, because life and truth must be built on a principle or it has no true foundation. So I just wanted to bring that out in case for those who know John Dolley's matrix very well feel that perhaps he is wrong, or the scriptural notes are wrong, or my interpretation are wrong, but that is not the case. It's just a matter of how far back you have to go in the synonymous term, so that the succeeding ones have enough foundation to stand on upon. Yes. Then there is another question that can arise, and that is the question that when we look at the epitomes, that we see that this chapter is built up differently than prayer and atonement and Eucharist. Prayer is built up in the 7x7. We have seen atonement and Eucharist is built up 7x7. But this chapter, marriage, is built up in the subtones, in the order of the days of creation. Namely, mind, or the first day of creation, in three tones, three subtones. The second, spirit, in three subtones. Then soul and principle in five subtones. Life in four tones. Truth in seven tones. And love in seven tones. Here again, that's something that we encounter over and over. Namely, the days of creation have, as in the seventh day, only the subtone of love as truth and love as love. And here, Mrs. Eddy takes love in all the seven subtones. Again, this does not disprove anything, because if the Bible takes only two subtones, and those two subtones are the last two, namely love as truth, that means that truth is always the sum total of what has gone on before. So it is, if the days of creation just have love as truth, it's a shorthand abbreviation of saying this includes the whole creation. And God rested on the seventh day of all his creation, but the creation was going through all the five creative tones and climaxing at the six. So you can either take the six as a climax of all the 6 days of creation in love, or you can repeat them. So Mrs. Eddy very often does both, that when she lays out the chapter in the days of creation order, that the last stone, either she takes it love as truth and love as love, or she takes it love through all the seven subtones. It's just a matter of, do we want to have a short abbreviation, or do we have a more expansive presentation of a subject?